Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, open our ears and eyes, our hearts, to your word this day. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Mother's Day, I tell jokes, because, you know, these are things you can take home and say around the table when you're doing whatever you're going to be doing. And I had a list here of things that your mother would probably never say, especially when you were a kid. Things like, how on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Get closer. Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. Oh, just leave the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. That one came back to bite me with my own daughter one time. And I left the light on in her apartment and she gave me heck for, do you know how much a hydro costs? And I have no idea. Another thing your mother would never say, let me smell that shirt. Oh yeah, that's good for another week. Go ahead. Well, if Bobby's mom says it's okay to jump off that bridge, that's good enough for me. Their curfew, by the way, is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison or anything around here. And I don't have a tissue with me. Go ahead, just use your sleeve. Mothers would never say that. But I do have one for grandparents I wanted to say, too. For two solid hours, the lady was sitting to a man next to her on an airplane and told him all about her grandchildren. She even had a ton of photos on her smartphone of all 9 children, complete with little hearts and kissy emojis all over them. And she finally realized that she'd been dominating the entire conversation about her grandchildren. Oh, I've done all the talking. I'm so sorry. I'm surely you have something to say. Please tell me, what do you think of my grandchildren? Well, it's Mother's Day, and it's a happy Mother's Day is a phrase we're going to hear, probably have been hearing for the last week. And it's interesting, and I'm going to repeat something I've said before to give some background to this, because it's important to understand that Mother's Day is supposed to be about our mothers. And it's changed that because of the card companies and all the various industries that are out there and turned it around a little bit. The modern idea of Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 by Anna Jarvis, and it was during a memorial she was having for her mother in West Virginia. It was her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday. It started way back in 1905 for her, the year that her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, had died. Anna's mission was to honor her own mother by continuing the work that she had started and to set aside a day to honor mothers. The person who has done more for you than anyone in the world, as she put it. Anna's mother, Ann Jarvis, has a peace activist. Now remember, this woman lived just during and after the Civil War. She was a peace activist who had cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of that war and created a Mother's Day work club to address public health issues. This was a very active woman in the mid-1800s. Unbelievable the way we hear things today that women did nothing. This woman did something very, very unique. This holiday is adopted by countries all over the world and whatnot, but in its original intention with Anna, she wanted everybody to spend the day writing a personal letter by hand expressing love and gratitude for your mother. And it's turned into something very different in so many ways. I've read this letter before. I'm not going to read the entire one. It's a letter written by Linda Joy Myers from recently, around 2017, I think it was, and it's entitled Everybody Has a Mother. And in this letter, this open letter, she's talking about how Mother's Day can be very difficult for lots of people because mothers often are not with us anymore. But she's also pointing out that that this whole idea can be difficult for people because mothers are not always in every relationship the best that they can be and leave scars with their children sometimes. And Mother's Day can be tough in that respect. And in her own case, her mother left her when she was 4 and was repeating history because her grandmother left her mother when she was 6. And it was in this letter, her grandmother is now looking after her in that sense. Or she's looking after the grandmother, pardon me. And it's interesting that her perspective was that she felt that her mother was almost motherless in so many ways, and so Mother's Day was a difficult time. The entire concept of mother brings about a whole bunch of emotions, and it can be complex for us today, especially more complicated by the non-traditional family structures that we find ourselves in all the time, but also it's about a relationship. It's really describing a relationship in so many ways. And I've read today the gospel readings from the beginning and story and ending story in the life of Jesus, and there's a reason for that. Mary was there in both instances. So Jesus' mother was there certainly when he was born. She had to be in that respect, I guess. But she was also there when he died. And I point out these readings today, not just to, you know, make that sad sort of thing about, you know, this mother watching her son die, but it's not even really to focus entirely on Mary herself. The real emphasis was on the second part of that and the final statements of Jesus. It was on, and it's, so the focus is on Jesus as Mary's son. It struck me over this Easter season in particular, as I was reading the various Gospels and preparing for Easter and Good Friday and all of that stuff, that this particular reading struck me for some reason this year, this portion from John, where Jesus' focus, he's on the cross, he's nearly dead. He's suffered beatings, he's been up all night, as I pointed out, being accused of all these things, and there he is in his final, final moments. And what's he focused on? Not himself. He looks up and sees his mother standing there. And he wants to make sure she's well looked after. And that's what that whole episode is about. That scripture, when we read that part, "Woman, here is your son," he's not talking about himself. He's talking about John. "Woman, here is your son, John." And then he addresses John directly, "Here is your mother." It's an important thing in Jewish history to understand that this is almost a verbal will that Jesus is saying. That's why he addresses her as woman, not mom, not mother, not by no title at all. He's responsible for her because historically the understanding is at this point Joseph, his father, is dead. Mary's on her own. So Jesus' final thought is to make sure his responsibilities are well taken care of. So it's a formal address that he's making. The different books I've read about this, the formal address that he's making to state his will. "Woman, your son is right there. And son, this is now your mother." And it's an official declaration of his last will and testament in that sense regarding his mother's situation. Mary being there also is a fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy. If you remember, before Jesus was born, "This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. A sword shall pierce through your own soul also." And as she stood there, I'm sure that's what happened. But Jesus' thought, again, was following the commandment for children to honor their parents. It goes beyond that of obedience, because that's often what we think of. We think of having to obey our parents, but Jesus now had grown up. He was beyond that obedience period in his life, and now honoring meant something different. He's looking after her needs. He's caring for her in the best way he possibly can. As I said, Jesus addresses his mother not as mother, but as woman, and translated appropriately in the NIV, he addresses her as "dear woman." And this is this formal declaration that he's made. As Mary's firstborn, Jesus is legally responsible for her welfare and to ensure that she has a place to live and food to eat during her widowhood, because she would have no income in those days. There was no money coming from the government like we might have today, nothing. Jesus entrusts his mother's care to John, and it says, "From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." You know, that song we just sang, "My Shepherd is the King of Love," Jesus is the shepherd for all of us, and his love goes that far. It goes beyond that even, but it goes that far. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Here is your son." He said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And I reflected back again, as I was putting this together, on those words the shepherd spoke to Mary at the birth of Jesus. And I think she probably did it again. Same thing that happened at his birth. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Mother's Day is a time for us to think about our mother. And I think, as I tried to point out in my newsletter this week that I sent out, that everybody here has a mother. And she may be with us now, she may not be with us. And Mother's Day is about honoring our mothers. It would be an interesting project for all of us to sit down and write a letter to our mother, whether she's here or not, to thank her for all the things that she's done, and handwrite it, not type it on the computer, and to take some time to put that together. The mother who gave you birth, and therefore life, the mother or mother figure who raised you. We live in a time when the role of mother and father and parent is being redefined, it's being ignored, it's being challenged. We forget sometimes the important role our mother has played in our lives. We live in a time when the idea of family is being challenged and changed, whether we like that change or not. But the fact of the matter still remains, for this, so far, a male and a female make it possible for us to all be conceived. Science hasn't taken us away from that equation. So we all have a mother and a father in the mix somewhere, and most of us have had someone filling those roles for us as we've grown up. And I'm probably everybody in this room this morning can think quite vividly of the influence that our mothers have had on us as we've grown up. Jesus did what a child should do for their mother. He honored and he shepherded his mother. He made sure she was taken care of, even at his lowest point. My prayer today is that we all can remember this, his actions, the shepherd, the king of love, and remember the influences that our mothers had on us as we've grown up. And the last more light thought, I guess, in the end is we can all remember not being able to sit down because of the influence some of our mothers have had on us when we were a child. Let's think about that and let's have a little prayer. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you that they love us sometimes to the point where it gets painful. We thank you that for them, we are who we are because of them. It really is that what it is. And as our mothers age, we often switch roles, it seems, and we become the mothers. But we do this out of love. We do this out of honor and respect. And as I think of all the different people in this congregation, Lord, and I've heard the many different stories people have told, many, many of those stories have to do with mothers and how much mothers were loved and are loved, how much influence mothers have had in the lives of all of us. We thank you for that. And on this day, Lord, whether our mothers are with us or not, let us be thankful that we've had that wonderful influence in our life, whether it's a biological mother, an adoptive mother, or a mother, someone played the role of mother in our lives, helping us and teaching us. And we thank you and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's because God blesses us so much, and this is a time now for us to present our tithes and offerings to give thanks for not wanting in our lives.